So I want to show you a few slides from the Hubble telescope, just to get started and warmed up here. This first one is a colossal shell of light. It's an expanding halo of light around a distant star. The glow comes from the red supergiant star at the middle of the image. Oops. Hang on a minute. Got my order of things a little different. Hang on a minute. Okay. That chaos happens here too. This is called Mystic Mountain. In 2010, Hubble peered deep into the Carina Nebula, 7,500 light years from Earth, capturing this image of chaotic activity atop a pillar of gas and dust. There's my Saturn. This is summertime on Saturn. Hubble observed Saturn and its rings on June 10th, 2019, as the planet was near its closest approach to Earth. This one is a spectacular spiral. It's a celestial object, M100. It's designated as a grand design spiral galaxy because of its two prominent lanes of young blue stars. A few. Somehow that reminds me of what awe is all about. Can you imagine being that close to the stars? High on a hill in a clear night somewhere on the planet Earth, you can see the Milky Way, our home. Before the thrill of it is gone, there is a moment, though, of intense discomfort. And that's what it means to stand in awe. I'm not talking about ordinary everyday wonders. As lovely as they are, they're too easy for this thing called awe. I know it when I feel it, because when I'm standing in awe, my knees start to buckle. If knees can feel nauseous and dizzy, that's what it feels like when I stand at the precipice of life and death and the terrible shaky edge between them. To be so stricken is not an everyday experience, thank goodness. But when I sense awe's arrival in the pit of my stomach, I know it before I actually know it up here. And while it might be unwelcome, I cannot turn away from it. Because awe is simply at the edge. And I love the edge, even though it scares me something awful. That edge is where I feel most thoroughly alive. That edge might be a literal edge of a cliff, a mountaintop, or a shoreline. But it can also be an edge of risk that calls to us. Stepping out to change course and embrace a life-altering creative moment, even when we understand the potential for loss. There is, at this intense, star-filled, breathless, and profound place, something that we can touch of the infinite. I know I have felt such awe at both times of birth and times of death. These are the edges every human is sure to experience. Yet not everyone experiences awe there. Birth is a dangerous and sometimes fearsome place, and death is not always easy or timely. But every once in a while, I get to witness the coming or going of a life. And I swear there is something holy and awesome there. It shows up at these times of transformation. The pangs of birth and the pangs of death, in some strange way, they mirror each other. As a human life emerges and grows into awareness and full being, or at the end when we slowly diminish and our awareness fades until we are nothing but light, and then the memory of that light. Life comes and goes. It wells up in great moments and is sustained by wonder and amazement in the middle. So if we are stardust, then the transformation from one form of stardust to another gives me the shivers. I'm caught wondering at the beauty and fragility of this human life form we get to inhabit for a finite number of days. While the science of our place among the stars is startling, there is more science in our need to experience that awe and wonder in the first place, to live into the human potential of our lives. Reverend Susan Beaumont writes, "Wonder trumps anxiety." Let's remember that. Wonder trumps anxiety. We cannot be filled with wonder and remain anxious at the same time. Wonder is the ability to feel amazement, admiration, and curiosity about something. Wonder invites our best, most creative thinking. Wonder connects us with the infinite, which some people call God. So how do we move from anxiety to wonder? Otto Scharmerer, senior lecturer at MIT, speaks of three internal voices that stand in the way of wonder: the voice of judgment, the voice of fear, and the voice of cynicism. In anxious times, these voices dominate our thinking and reasoning, and they keep us from engaging our best selves. In times of anxiety, we need to learn to release those voices. So in these times of overwhelming and justified anxiety, we do need some tools to help us think clearly and stay in touch with the meaning and possibility of our beings. We need awe and wonder to survive the onslaught of the anxiety swirling around us. Where do these voices of judgment, fear, and cynicism originate? I do know this. Our humanity is diminished when we reduce our experience to these reactive emotions. In judgment, we're likely to objectify another person or even our own experience. It's not that we should never judge, but that it is more helpful to practice judging more slowly. Critics wield sharp weapons that can undermine what we hope to create in ourselves and others. By delaying our judgment, we allow for more listening and the exploration of the meaning of things. While our polarized political reality demands critical thinking, our nation cannot begin to heal the loss of community and common purpose unless we are willing to listen to one another. Our friends at the Mama Center for World Religions and Ethical Thought are engaged in a Better Angels project where they are simply observers of the dialogue between reds and blues. I hear that it is hard and important work to just listen there. They are building muscle for retaining our humanity in the face of tremendous differences and the existential anxieties that they produce. I have no way of knowing how this will change things, but I do know that recognizing the humanity in and loving both enemies and friends on some level is essential for the survival of our species. And then there's fear and cynicism. They too diminish us. Releasing their hold on us may take the untangling of long-held scripts and beliefs about ourselves. Those inner critics start very, very early. The poet Leonard Cohen says, 7 to 11 is a huge chunk of life, full of dulling and forgetting. It's fabled that we slowly lose the gift of speech with animals, that birds no longer visit our windowsills to converse, and our eyes grow accustomed to sight they armor themselves against wonder. This armoring with fear and distrust does start when we are too young to know better. A child's world is magical and powerful until we insist upon a certain kind of reason. It's part of the socialization of a child to ask for reasonable bites and reasonable bedtimes and reasonable behavior of all kinds. And I get that is necessary for our survival as parents. But why does it have to come at the one cost of wonder and creativity? The pressures we place upon children earlier and earlier, it seems, to compete and succeed at all costs, does nothing but limit their ability to wonder and wander where their imaginations might take them if they were allowed. That imaginative muscle leads to creativity and generativity that has the power to save us all in the long run. Competition and achievement are more often dead ends that suck the life out of our children before they reach adulthood. There is a tremendous rise in stress and anxiety-related illnesses in children and youth, and it's a startling diagnosis of a society that has given in to its fears. And then there's the cynics, and that cynicism, that belief that all is already lost. That, too, arms us for failure. It denies hope and the possibility that lies nascent in everything. We do not have to give in to climate change and hunger and poverty. We do not have to give in to the best elections money can buy. We know that human community can thrive when every person is respected and given the dignity of enough. We do not have to put children in cages to feel safe and secure. We do not have to run from our neighbors to have a community that is broader than just our simple like minds. We do not have to put our values on the shelf to remain engaged with others who are different in some way. The awe-filled truth of this moment in time is that we still need one another. Reds and blues and greens and all the rest, men and women in every shade of gender and sexuality, every particular and beautiful race and ethnicity brings to light another star brought down from the heavens. Rich and poor, we need to recognize the humanity in one another and our part in the systems that create these divides that threaten us. The simple fact is that we still need one another to survive. We each hold a bit of stardust and a bit of truth. Let's start by listening for and respecting that in every person that we meet. I agree with the scientists that judgment, fear, and cynicism simply do not create a better world. Far more often, they do real harm to ourselves, to others, and to our community. But I do believe that we need awe and wonder. They have the power to restore and revive us. So how can we get more? It may be just a matter of focus, paying attention to the things that inspire awe in ourselves. It's a choice, a little like choosing the channel you watch or listen to. We can choose to take ourselves to places where wonder and beauty thrive, maybe occasionally going right to the edge and feeling awe there rather than fear. In all the holy beginnings and endings happening right this very moment, someone has knees that are shaking as they show up to the awe-filled moment with their humanity intact. And from that point of shaken confidence, they offer us all a little more of that blessed human dignity. UU minister Reverend Burton Carley reminds us, from chaos come the building blocks for creation. It is something good to remember when spiritual storms are brewing inside our lives and also outside in the environment. How do we endure the chaos? It seems counterintuitive, but it is through praise that we bear our transformations. The poet Rainer Maria Rilke understood this well in this poem. Oh, tell us, poet, what it is that you do. I praise. But in the midst of deadly turmoil, what helps you endure and how do you survive? I praise. And that which nameless is, anonymous, how do you, poet, still call out to them? I praise. Who grants you your right to pose in any guise, wear any mask, and still remain sincere? I praise. And that the stillness and the violence, like the star and storm, know and acknowledge you, because I praise. We do survive our deepest struggles, because the human spirit rises from the dust with the possibility of joy and praise. I think it's why we come here. So as we travel these last few weeks of 2019 together, where do we look for awe and wonder and praise? It's so very dark on these long, long nights. Giving in to the gloom and fear swirling about us is not inevitable, though. Whatever grief or joy you carry from this year can be transformed in this darkness. There's so much happening in the quiet night sky and under the frozen earth. Seeds and small animals rest there, but they are alive. The cold may drive us deeper under the blankets, but I still swear that going out is the best medicine. On my evening walk with my dog Jane, I see things differently. The sky opens up to reveal stars that hint of galaxies and worlds far beyond my understanding. Out there at night, I see my neighbors' responses to all the darkness, too. Some leave a candle in the window, and others go to extremes with holiday light displays. Others prefer to let the darkness be, allowing our eyes to adapt and see the subtle shadows of a long night. Each one calls us out of our cocoon to be witness to the wonder of a December night. Life should not be wasted, even when it is less. Go outside and see and feel the wonder of the Milky Way. We are mortal beings made of stardust, of light and heat and rock, so we light candles of courage. It does take courage to go to that edge again. It takes courage to say no to the fear and anxiety of our times. We too can make a home in the dark night. Let its silence soothe your soul. Let the night reveal other worlds. You belong there. You belong in the birth and death and brief upwelling of creative possibility, day, night, and every moment in between. You belong to the stars, and the stars belong to you. May we stand in awe of it all and rest still in all that yet remains a mystery. May it be so.